Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This Sunday, Christ the King Sunday, as the name of the Sunday states, we focus on the truth that Scripture reveals that Jesus is the King of the universe, of all that exists. And we think about what that means for us and for our daily lives here on this earth. As we just heard in those verses from Revelation chapter 1, we hear the Apostle John describing Jesus as the ruler over the kings of the earth. And also in Colossians chapter 2, we read the Apostle Paul describing Jesus as the head over every ruler and authority. Every ruler and authority. And so we see clearly that Jesus is the King and ruler and Lord over all things, not just over the people who believe in him, not just over the Christian church, but also of all the kingdoms of the earth, of all people on the earth. Of course, that's not what we always observe in the world today. Because at the present time, Jesus has given authority to earthly kingdoms and to governments to rule as they see fit, sometimes for better or worse. But of course, Jesus has also set limits even on the authority and power that he grants to those earthly kingdoms. Jesus is still in control of all things. And he promises that one day he will assert his full kingship and authority and rule in every way. So we see that prophesied in verse 7 of our reading. Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him. And later on in Revelation chapter 7, we read, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. I think back to the beginning of Jesus' life on this earth. When Jesus became a human being, he was not born into a setting of great majesty and splendor as we would expect of an earthly king, in fact, of the King of Kings. But rather, he came in disguise, as it were, in a very humble circumstances, because his kingdom is not of this earth. He came to bring a spiritual kingdom in the hearts of all who believe in him. Jesus announced as he began preaching publicly that the kingdom of God is near. And he demonstrated the presence of the kingdom of God by exercising his authority over the powers of the world and over even the powers, the unseen powers, the spiritual forces of evil, as Jesus drove out demons and as he showed his authority and power over the kingdom of the devil and all the power that the devil wields. And some of those, the people who didn't believe that Jesus really was the Son of God, that he really was the Savior, they accused Jesus of doing those miraculous things, of driving out demons by being in league with the devil, by receiving power from the devil. And Jesus countered that accusation in Matthew chapter 12, saying, if Satan drives out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then can his kingdom stand? Now, if I drive out demons by Beelzebul, another name for the devil, by whom do your sons drive them out? Therefore, they will be your judges. But if I drive out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. We see that during his life and ministry on this earth, Jesus made it resoundingly clear, crystal clear, that by his presence, God was here among people. That's what the term for Jesus, Emmanuel, means. God with us. Jesus showed that he was far more powerful than the devil, that he was far more powerful than disease, than sin, than all sickness and physical ailments and problems, that he was even more powerful than death. He was more powerful than every force that opposes God and his will. We see Jesus regularly making use of his divine kingly power and authority by driving out demons, by forgiving people's sins, by healing the sick, by raising the dead back to life. as the King of Kings. Jesus had power over all of the negative and all of the destructive forces that torment people on this earth. But even more important than that, it's especially comforting to know that Jesus has called us into his spiritual kingdom. We become citizens of that spiritual kingdom of our Savior Jesus through faith in him as our Savior. For some of us, that faith was imparted to us in our infancy when we were baptized. It was at that time that God called us to be his very own dearly loved sons and daughters through faith in his Son Jesus, our Savior. God blessed us with citizenship in his kingdom, citizenship in heaven. We read the Apostle Paul writing in Ephesians chapter 2, "You are no longer foreigners and strangers, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of God's household." How did Jesus do that? How did Jesus make us citizens of his kingdom? Well, we read that he did that at great personal cost to himself. In verses 5 and 6 of our reading, it says, "He has freed us from our sins by his own blood and made us a kingdom and priests to God his Father." Now, when we think about this kingdom of our God, of our Savior Jesus, good for us to pause for a moment and think about the kind of government, a political system that we're used to in this country, where all the citizens have a voice in government and government policy through the representatives that they elect. But God's kingdom doesn't work like that. God is the absolute ruler of his kingdom, and we are his humble subjects. God has all the say-so in his kingdom. He makes all the laws. We make none. God's word will be the basis for the last judgment, not our word or the word of any other person. We are here to obey him. We can't appeal his word and judgment, nor are we allowed to change his word. His word is beyond human criticism, because his word is perfect and holy in every way, just as he is. But at the same time, God is not a tyrannical king like a dictator. Rather, he is a king whose heart is full of love and compassion for the people that he has created, full of self-sacrificing love. We see that he deals with us tenderly, according to his mercy. He shows us what love is at its best. When he steps down from his throne on high, when he sets aside his glory and power that is his by right as the eternal Son of God, when he accepts upon himself the judgment and the punishment that should have fallen on us because of our sins, by shedding his holy, innocent blood on the cross, he has freed us from our sins. And he has also elevated us to the rank of royalty in his kingdom. He has made us sons and daughters of the King. We come into this blessed relationship with him through a living faith in him as our Savior, through full confidence in the power of his holy, precious blood that has washed us free from our sins. Just as verse 6 of our text says, "He made us a kingdom and priests to God his Father. To him be the glory and the power forever. Amen." And as he continues to daily offer us his full grace and full forgiveness for all of our sins, there we find the motivation that we need to continue to fight against the desires within us, to make ourselves lords and kings over our own life, following our own will instead of God's will. The sinful nature within us constantly drives us to turn away from love for God and for his will, and instead focus only on ourselves and what we want, whatever pleases us. All of us are born with that natural inclination because of the sinful nature that we've inherited from our parents. We all want to be kings and queens of our own lives, of our own little kingdoms, until the Lord comes to us in his word, until he comes to us in the waters of baptism connected with his word and brings us into his royal family, until he gives us his Holy Spirit by those means of grace, who lives in our hearts, who works in us a willing submission to the rule of our Savior King, Jesus. Look at what God's word says are the amazing privileges that we have as sons and daughters of the King. Think about us as a church, as a fellowship of believers, not very large or impressive or spectacular looking, but God's word assures us that although we are small compared to the many people on this earth who do not follow Jesus, yet Jesus assures us your Father is pleased to give you the kingdom. As forgiven and redeemed heirs of the kingdom, we are assured by God that we will inherit all of the heavenly blessings and gifts and treasures that our Savior King Jesus has won for us by his victory over sin, death, and hell and the power of the devil. Though we are sinful now and we can never achieve the perfection that God demands here on this earth, yet because he is a gracious king, he has promised one day to totally transform us. He has promised that in heaven with him forever, we will be like him. We will see him as he really is. But we are totally unworthy of that heavenly glory because of our sins against him. He promises that he will clothe us fully in his robe of righteousness because he has freed us from our sins by his own blood. And though we see that as he pictures to the Apostle John in Revelation, that we will bow down and serve him fully in his heavenly kingdom, yet amazingly, Jesus, our Savior King, tells us in Luke chapter 12 that he will serve us in heaven. He says, "Blessed are those servants whom the Master will find watching when he comes. Amen, I tell you, he will dress himself and have them recline at the table, and he will come and serve them." And though, again, we will join in heaven with all of the elders and all of the other believers who have gone before us in laying at the feet of Jesus those crowns of victory that he has given to us and honoring and praising him, singing together with them, "Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive the glory and the honor and the power." Yet listen to what Christ, our King, has prepared for those who believe in him in his kingdom in heaven. Revelation chapter 3, we read, "To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on his throne." And he promises in chapter 22, "They will reign forever and ever." These are the amazing blessings and privileges, the likes of which we'll never receive from any earthly ruler or from any human institution here on this earth. And nor could we ever be worthy of these blessings and privileges by ourselves and by our own good deeds or work. Only Jesus, our heavenly King, can offer us such undeserved glories because he himself has earned these privileges for us through his work of rescuing us from our sins by his own life's blood that he shed on the cross. And that's why each of us want to honor and serve our Savior King Jesus every day of our lives. The writer to the Hebrews urges us on towards this purpose. He says, "Through Jesus, therefore, let us constantly offer to God a sacrifice of praise, that is, the fruit of lips that confess his name. And do not forget to do good and share with others, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased." As sons and daughters of the King, our daily living must be on a higher plane than the living of the people of this world around us who do not believe in Jesus as King. So the Apostle Paul writes to the Christians in Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 5, "Do not let sexual immorality, any kind of impurity or greed even be mentioned among you as is proper for saints. Obscenity, foolish talk, and coarse joking are also out of place. Instead, give thanks. Certainly you are aware of this. No immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a person is an idolater, has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ, who is God." So we see our King has set a high standard for us, challenging goals of love for us. To the people who one day assured Jesus that they were ready to follow him when Jesus was conducting his ministry here on earth, Jesus challenged them and told them that if someone is to be fit for the kingdom of God, it takes readiness to give up anything and everything that might interfere with our service to him and with our relationship with him as the number one priority and love in our lives. And so Jesus told those people, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." Our gracious Savior King has given us his best by his self-sacrificing love for us. And he wants us to respond with our very best love for him. But not only does he want us to give him that kind of love, he also enables us to do so. He fills our hearts with his Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit works in our hearts through the gospel of God's love and forgiveness. He works in our hearts that kind of godly love that our Savior King wants of us. And so let's give the Holy Spirit every opportunity to strengthen and to build us up in our faith through his word and sacrament, so that his love can produce in us, in our lives, that exact type of living, loving service that has Jesus' stamp of approval and that brings eternal blessings to others around us as well. Live in full confidence as sons and daughters of the King, in full confidence of the eternal blessings that your Savior King has won for you. Amen.